T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Filling in for Tommy Tucker on this day after Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us here on WWL. Man, things were looking so good in Louisiana with the numbers so low after that second surge in coronavirus. And for months, we kept it low with people wearing their masks and social distancing. We kept opening things up a little bit by bit, more and more, getting the economy back up and running a little bit more. And then came Halloween. And it's just been spiraling out of control, increases in COVID cases and hospitalizations. And now the governor says deaths are starting to show noted increased level as well. To help us talk about this and look ahead at what might happen now that we've had Thanksgiving, probably the biggest gathering holiday of the pandemic thus far, is Dr. Susan Hassig, an epidemiologist at Tulane University in the School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. Hello, doctor. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was pretty solitary, actually. So I was following my own guidance and not gathering.
Yeah, it was just us and the immediate family. My problem was we made as much food as we normally make when we have all the in-laws and everybody else over. So now I got lots of leftovers, but I have 4 kids, so that shouldn't take too long to devour. So.
That shouldn't take too long to clear that out of the fridge.
Yeah, so I've got that to look forward to. what I'm afraid of looking forward to is seeing, especially 2 weeks from now, because we heard from so many people who, unlike yourself and myself, who were not going to let the pandemic or the government or medical experts like yourself tell them that they couldn't have their traditional Thanksgiving. And while I think it was, and I hope it was, a relatively small number of people, it's probably a lot more people getting together for Thanksgiving than were for Halloween.
Well, I think Halloween kind of coincided with Hurricane Zeta, if you remember. And I don't know if we can really disentangle those two things. I mean, certainly that may have been what tipped the New Orleans area a little bit, because people lost power for an extended period of time. They were possibly gathering to recharge devices and move food into available working refrigerators or freezers, et cetera. That may have also played a part. But I actually suspect that we were probably building up some undetected positivity and transmission, because our testing had really dropped down since Hurricane Laura and Delta. And we just weren't testing at the level that all over the state that we had been earlier in the year and in the pandemic. And I think it got ahead of us, as this virus continues to do. Yeah. Every time we think we've got it under control.
It was noteworthy that we were seeing all around us in 45 other states these huge trajectories, increasing cases and hospitalizations. But we weren't even seeing the hospitalizations increasing in Louisiana. We kept those steady for so long, which was a good indication that the virus was being at least stabilized, if not held at bay. But that's not the case anymore. Now we're seeing the hospitalizations at levels we haven't seen since the second surge.
Right. And I mean, the hospitalizations were creeping up a few at a time. And for me, that was concerning, even when it looked like it was relatively stable, because hospitalizations, we always have to remember, are at least 2 weeks behind actual transmission and cases, because it takes a while for people to get sick. and not everybody gets sick. And so once we see hospitalizations going again, it's really like the tip of the iceberg, and we've already hit the part that's underground, underwater.
Yeah. So now here we are heading into Thanksgiving. We were fearful that the hospital's ability to continue to provide care, not only for COVID patients, but for everybody else who needs hospitals, is getting close to being taxed to a point where the government's got to consider whether or not to start canceling, or at least institutions have to start considering whether or not to start canceling elective procedures and surgeries or not. And now we have Thanksgiving. What do you think we're going to see in the next couple of weeks based on the behavior of folks over Thanksgiving and now here on Black Friday? The good news is most stores we've seen do not have crowds, do not have anyone in them here on this Black Friday, nothing like what we've seen in years past.
I think the Black Friday is going to be hopefully a non-issue, but you know, the challenge is that there were millions of people traveling, and it may not have all been Louisianians, and because we tend to stick closer to home, but gatherings of, you know, more than your immediate family is a potential way to transmit, and I just don't have a good enough feel for what that behavior actually was, as you mentioned in your intro, to get a sense of how many people, did decide to get together with a large group for an extended period of time. Hopefully they were outside. That would be a help. I did hear the stores had lots of big turkeys left and not any little turkeys, which for me is an informal indicator that, you know, maybe people weren't getting together in such big groups as might otherwise have occurred. But I think we're just going to have to see over the next week to 14 days what we wind up seeing in terms of cases and what starts happening with the coronavirus-like illness. The illness is popping up in emergency rooms, which happens before hospitalization. And that's something that we'll be watching closely to see exactly what has happened. But the point is, it has happened. What we need to focus on now is what we can do now. People had Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving's passed. We still need to maintain, until we get the vaccine, you know, real attention to masking when we're out in public, maintaining physical distance, trying not to mix any more than is necessary with other people outside your household, because this virus is still here, obviously. And one of the concerning things for Louisiana is we never, even though we got our kind of post-surge, post-second surge down to a steady level, it wasn't as low as post-first surge. And so we're starting from a little bit higher baseline. And we still have some time to go, even if everybody kind of got their act together with moving back to phase two. It's going to take 2 weeks before those kinds of benefits are going to appear in the case counts.
You know, I'd run out.
Even longer for the hospitalizations.
Yeah, and we know that. And that's kind of one of the challenging and frustrating things for folks is we like immediate results. We like to know that if we do A, that B will happen immediately afterwards. And in this case, no, do A, wait 2 weeks, and then we'll see if B worked. And I think that's difficult for a lot of people. You know, I went shopping to get some last-minute items for Thanksgiving, and my daughter called me from Baton Rouge, and she was out shopping as well. And I told her, well, I'm at the store, and you know what? Everyone's doing a good job of staying 6 feet apart from each other. Everyone, I said, 99% of everyone I saw in the grocery store had their mask on and had it on right. I saw just a couple people where it wasn't covering their nose, but everybody in the grocery mm-hmm. store had their mask on in Metairie.
That's fantastic.
She mm-hmm. said she was in Baton Rouge, and 99% of the people had no masks on where she was in Baton Rouge. And so that got me thinking. Then I saw the numbers out of Tangipahoa Parish this week where they have had this massive increase. And I'm wondering if it's, you know, again, these political differences in different parishes and urban versus rural and Democrat versus Republican and whatever. And I'm just wondering, and we won't know for a couple of weeks, I'm just wondering how much the dire pleadings from the governor and health officials like yourself actually changed people's behavior earlier this week, or did not, for that matter?
It's very difficult to say. There are so many things that influence health behavior, human behavior. And I'll admit, I'm tired of this pandemic, too. I really want it to be over. But I also, you know, I've been trained and had it drilled into me over my entire career. You know, what we need to do to stop an infectious disease is something that we need to maintain. It's like the whole seatbelt rather than having the airbag. But it is a really challenging thing to maintain behavior change to protect against something where we don't know immediately whether it's going to work or not. That instantaneous gratification is that challenge is very real. It's like, you know, trying to lose those 10 pounds from last holiday season. You know, you work really hard on, you know, cutting back on your carbs and doing some exercise, and you lose a little weight and you're going, yes, I did it. But then it stalls, or worse yet, it comes back. So it's a really, really difficult challenge. And I think that we can only try to find new ways to help people understand the importance of it, find perhaps new messengers who can speak to them, those who are not hearing the messages, perhaps of the governor or people like myself, trying to find ways to help them realize that, you know, if we could just maintain masking for, you know, a majority of people for 3 to 4 weeks, the numbers would come down. Businesses could stay open. And that's, it's a really, it's not an either or, it's a masking keeps business open. And that's where I find myself getting more frustrated as we wrestle with this over the long term.
And I got to imagine it's frustrating as well, because I admit I have never studied epidemiology. I've never studied infectious disease. I've never studied the chemical properties of virus particles. I don't have an MD or a PhD. But I hear and see all these people on social media who are calling into radio, who are having conversations, who have no education in anything that would help them understand how viruses work, spread, or anything else, just wholeheartedly and overwhelmingly ignoring or disputing the advice from medical experts, PhDs, people who have spent their entire career studying these things, but they know better because of anecdotal or political information that they've received.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It is very challenging to combat that as well, because people will gravitate to information that supports what they want to do anyway, self-affirming information sources. So they would much rather, if they really want to see their family for Thanksgiving, you know, they're going to gravitate towards someone who says, oh, you don't really have to worry. It's not that big a deal. It's not going to get anybody really sick, rather than a message that says, no, you could really make your aunt or uncle or grandparents or parents seriously ill. And, you know, we tend to move towards sources of information that confirm our own inclinations. And it's very, very challenging. It's a longstanding challenge in public health, because we don't have the authority to impose. We don't have a society as exists in some other places where, you know, the government has far more extreme measures that they can take and put in place to enforce certain kinds of behavior or situational circumstances and everything else. That's just not how we operate in the United States. But frankly, how we're operating in the United States isn't working particularly well right now with regard to this pandemic.
Understood. And I don't think that changes. I think people have made up their minds where they stand on this pandemic. Until and unless they get very sick, or someone they love gets very sick or dies, it doesn't seem to change the way people who are hell-bent on discrediting anyone who tells them to wear a mask or social distance or take any of the other precautions. They just see it as an infringement on their rights. And that is one of the wonderful things about the United States of America, is you have every right to believe what you want and to ascribe to whatever opinions you want, but only up to a point where it doesn't infringe on the rest of us. And that's, we're kind of right on that teetering point now.
We are right on that teetering point. And unfortunately, as massive as the impacts have been on the population as a whole in terms of numbers of people who have been hospitalized and been very sick and the number of people that have died from this pandemic, it's still not at a level where every person necessarily knows someone who has experienced this. And Lord, we don't want it to get to that level, because that would mean, you know, truly, I mean, everything is bad enough now, but it can get and potentially may get much worse. And if we have to wait for everyone to have a personal experience with this disease, we are going to have enormous, enormous problems. And in healthcare, particularly, you know, people who have a stroke or a heart attack are not going to be able to get care, because there won't be any space. There won't be healthcare workers to take care of them. And that's where I think, you know, our governor has made a very strong case consistently that, you know, he's trying to make sure that the people of Louisiana can get care when they need it. And I would hope that people would hear that message and recognize it's very real. We are, you know, hospitalizations in the metro area here in New Orleans have been kind of in the best position of most regions around the state, but numbers are creeping up here too. And it can go very bad very quickly with the numbers of cases that we have circulating right now.
Talking with Dr. Susan Hassig, epidemiologist at Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. You know, I really wished and hoped, and I think it was unrealistic, but that we would have had an effective and safe way to inoculate our society prior to the holidays, because, you know, now we're in this position where we know there's a vaccine that looks like it's going to be approved soon and looks like it will be distributed early next year. But we just had Thanksgiving and we still got to get through Christmas, and the potential
and
is
New
here
Year's.
For yeah, and New Year's for huge disaster prior to that. So, I mean, I hope that our worst fears aren't realized, but right now it's not looking good here or in most of the nation.
And the fact that it is over so much of the nation makes the healthcare situation even more problematic, because our nurses and doctors and respiratory therapists and everyone in healthcare is on their very last nerve. They have been working nonstop since March, and it's incredibly draining work. And with the rest of the country in such bad shape as well, as the governor said, we are not going to be able to get replacement personnel to come in now, because there's nobody left to be those extra people. In March and April, we were one of the few places that was experiencing a problem. Even in the summer surge that we had, it was still a problem that was focused in maybe a half a dozen states, but now it's everywhere. And so those extra nurses that came from, you know, the Midwest, they're fully occupied and in fact, much more dire straits than we are right now. But we should look at that as a warning and not as a reason to relax. The thing that I really wish we had, I mean, I want the vaccine for sure, but I was really hoping that some of the therapeutic options would prove to be more effective so that we could, you know, substantially reduce the burden on healthcare, substantially reduce mortality. But we've also been, you know, there have been some advances made, but the therapeutic options aren't there yet either. And so both the vaccine and the therapies are continuing to progress. And I, you know, I just hope when the vaccine becomes available, everyone will in fact step up to take it. Because if we don't get cooperation with vaccination, it's going to protect some people, but it's not going to do the job we would hope it would, which is eliminate the virus from our population.
Do you have a sense of confidence that enough people will take the vaccine when it's made available, particularly early on when they start distributing it to frontline workers, to doctors and nurses and hospital staff, and then to the elderly and those at highest risk? Do you think enough people will take the vaccine?
I certainly hope so. I haven't personally seen a lot of local level kinds of data on people's receptiveness to vaccination, but my informal questioning of friends and colleagues and, you know, friends of friends has indicated that a lot of people are very willing to take it. The challenge, I think, is that, you know, these first couple of vaccines that are most likely to be approved early are really challenging to administer. And once we get away from the healthcare worker, first responder, you know, nursing home residents and staff kinds of environments where you've got large groups of people in one place that can all be vaccinated fairly easily and quickly, the storage and transportation kinds of issues surrounding both of these vaccines may prove to be really challenging. The Pfizer one needs -70 degrees Celsius, you know, ultra cold freezers. Those are not things that every hospital has. They are not the things that every pharmacy has. So it's the dynamics of logistical distribution of that particular vaccine is really challenging. Moderna is not quite so bad. It just requires regular freezing temperatures. But some of the more, the ones that are not quite there yet, AstraZeneca and even the Johnson & Johnson, have less requirements. They only, the AstraZeneca is only refrigeration, mm-hmm. doesn't require freezing. But all three of those vaccines require two doses for protection. So it's not just a single shot, it's getting people to come back for the second shot. When that's when the protection benefit really, really launches. And so it's not like the flu shot. It's not just boom once, you know, really easy peasy kind of process. It's going to take tremendous coordination and logistical tracking of who got which vaccine because they are not interchangeable. So vaccination is going to be complex but doable. I think we've got the system. I mean, Louisiana's got a quite amazing immunization program. They've got a local database for tracking vaccines and who's gotten what and when they got it. And I've been on one of the vaccine working groups, and they've been working really hard since the pandemic began, anticipating a vaccine product. And so, you know, I believe that we are, in fact, in pretty good shape in terms of being as prepared as we can be. But again, people need to take it. And, you know, we need to, you know, have confidence that the manufacturer can get the product to us when we need it.
Dr. Susan Hassig, epidemiologist at Tulane, thank you so much for joining us on this day after Thanksgiving. I wish it were under happier circumstances and we were talking about more wonderful things, but it's going to...
And people, wear your mask because that will make a difference. It really protects you and it protects others.
Let's hope. If we can just do that, maybe we can get this thing under control so that we can get through the holidays and then get into 2021, get that vaccine, and get this all behind
us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have a better year.
Thank you, doctor. Have
Take
a great
care,
weekend.
Dave.
All right. Dr. Susan Hassig here on WWL. Up next, are you having trouble coping with all this? Do you know someone who's having trouble dealing with it, upset that Thanksgiving was ruined as a result of the virus, that looks like Christmas could be a disaster as a result of the virus? So much in our lives have changed so quickly that a lot of people are having difficulty. And some people, maybe that's part of the reason they're rejecting it all, because they've just had enough of it. They just don't want to deal with this crap anymore. And I know the governor keeps telling us, you may be sick of the virus, but the virus isn't done with you. We'll take a look at the psychological standpoints of this pandemic coming up after this on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.